As we make preparations to hear the words of Scripture for us this day from Mark's Gospel, if you are able, I would invite you please to stand. Hear these words from Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 38 and ending at the conclusion of that chapter, verse 44. And in his teachings, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to go about in long robes and have salutations in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And Jesus sat opposite the treasury and watched the multitude putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For they have all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, her whole living." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for words of Scripture and for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives and living. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that you will give us a sense of peace, rest, and comfort. All of those activities, O God, in our daily lives and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. This was one of those weeks where I just needed to take it a little easier. My stamina with this chest cold is not what it normally would be. And so when I was having a few moments and kicking my feet up and shutting down for a little bit, I was doing what I don't normally do, and that's social media. Matter of fact, I was saving some pictures and sending them to my family, and my sister said, "You need to go back to work." I said, "That day will be here." But one of my classmates from high school posted on Facebook that this past week he was digging around his back steps, and he uncovered a 1906 Barber half dollar. Someone said to me, "What do they look like?" And I said, "Oh, I don't even remember. I just know if you find something that's 1906, you better stick it in your pocket." Well, I replied, or whatever you do on Facebook, I said, "Man, I'd go get a metal detector and look for some more." But I don't know whether he did. So, you know, I was curious. What's a 1906 Barber half dollar worth? So I shifted from Facebook to eBay. Anybody have an idea?
You can't if you were here early service.
What do you think a 1906 Barber dollar's worth? A dollar? No. Five, three, ten, more. $30. Oh, you knew that. You're guessing. That's a pretty good deal. $30? You know, I wouldn't mind having a pocket full of those babies. So go home and check if you got a stash of half dollars somewhere. You know, maybe you're sitting on a little bit of money. Anybody have a stash of pennies? Huh?
Like a Big Ten?
No. Oh, not anybody hoard anything else? What do you hoard, Bill?
64 county half worth
$32. A
64 what? 64 county half dollars worth $32.
So that Kennedy half dollars are worth having as well. Well, you know, if you have a stash of pennies, you'll want to sort them. You want to sort them into pre-82 and post-82. All right? 1982, that's the determining factor for pennies. Before 1982, pennies were made of pure copper. And that year, the cost of copper required us to create a penny that was a little less expensive because of the price of copper. And so in 1982, the U.S. Mint started making pennies primarily of zinc. That was cost efficient until 2006. Now, I find this fascinating. Well, I don't know how you're going to get around politics on this one, but is it just the stupidity of the American way? A penny costs us 2.41 cents to make. But go figure that one out. A penny in your pocket costs 2.5 cents to make. Now, anybody went in on that business deal? That's what I figured. The half dollar? The pre-82? Sure. Well, when copper rose to a certain amount, there became this habit or this practice of melting pennies, and so we had to enact legislation that made that illegal, and so people now are hoarding pennies until the day comes when we don't use pennies anymore, and then they will be able to be melted down. You probably have not had a Canadian penny for a while because they quit using them. Canada quit. New Zealand quit, although I don't know any of us would get New Zealand pennies. And Australia quit using pennies. And so there's conversation whether or not we are going to keep those. But people then tend to hoard them and hang on to them just for that day when they can melt them down. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll still stop and pick one up. Anybody else? And then it's that game. Is it heads up or tails up? And what is it, heads up that's good and tails that normal day? My dad and Leanna have a competition to see who can find the most money on the ground, and they call each other back and forth. Hey, I found this today. I found that today. She called him first this summer when she found a $50 bill. Didn't even call me. Called my dad. Probably put my mom into a heart attack when she called and said, Beverly, I need to talk to Denton right away. Put him on the phone. David's fine, by the way. Paul, I found a $50 bill. And then we went out for dinner. But many of us view pennies as just pocket clutter. But in the text in Mark, a penny was all this widow had to live on. One penny. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is teaching the people in the temple. Now, the religious leaders are walking around the courtyards, and Jesus used them as an example. And I get nervous when I wear a robe and preach on this passage. But the robe was they were ornate. They were signs of leisure and dignity. They expected in their robes formal greetings, the first century equivalent. They expected to be saluted like an officer. They always looked for VIP seating. They maintain their status through the financial support of others, yes, even the widows. They were consumed with show. They wanted fame and respect. They liked their standings in society and the comfort that came with it. But Jesus noticed something. He noticed that, well, the rich, the wealthy were giving huge sums of offerings in the temple because, well, the collection was probably metal and there were big sounds when they were dumping in their coins. And so clearly in this situation, the right hand did know what the left hand was doing. And then this widow comes up. And she puts in 2 copper coins worth about a penny into the offering. Now, these 2 coins couldn't even compare to what the others were putting in. In fact, we've developed possibly some sayings over the years. Well, I'll give you my 2 cents. I'll put in my 2 cents for whatever it's worth. But the writer of the Gospel of Mark wants us to look deeper than the amount we give, deeper than the amount we put into the offering plate. Because the author of Mark wants us to see giving as a measurement of our devotion to God and God's kingdom. And so a comparison is made between the abundance of the religious and the abundance of the widow. Giving is simply a way to show our internal brokenness or our faithfulness to God. What Jesus seeks is a heart that is transformed. Become a widow. As one pastor puts it, change your money and it may change your heart. Change your heart and it will change your money. With a heart that was totally, completely, fully devoted to Almighty God, the widow in this morning's scripture passage has a lot to teach us. A nameless, penniless woman, without family, without status, without any means of continuing her life, she has become forever a symbol of generosity, dependence, sacrifice, and priority. We are called not to hoard pennies, but to give them away. Today continues the stewardship program in the life of the church. Today, love your church. And so Matthew 25:14 is the parable of the talents. Put some money out here on the altar, and you get to take it. You get a gift today, and you get to do something with that money. The Osborne family was sitting back there at second service. Philip, 11 years old, last year took $20. An 11-year-old boy took 20 bucks, and he went and bought candy bars. And he set them up as his uncle's auto store. And that $20 became $70.
when he turned that back into the life of the church, an 11-year-old kid. I know there were some other people. I know there was a group that pulled their money, I don't know, two, three, four, five of them, and they put it together and they did a spud bar, and $100 became $700 that was given back to the church. Mine will be an easy one. I'll go get honey bears or the ones I have and fill those with honey and put those out that you can purchase. It's a good year this year so far, so that's the good news. Lori, the finance chair, said that the 22nd of this month, the room over here is going to kind of become a pumpkin room. So if you've got some Thanksgiving ideas or themes, that room will be filled over there. And then in December, we'll do some things as well, whether you want to bake, whether you want to be crafty, whatever. So the money's up here. Take what you want. There's fives, there's tens, there's twenties. Take whatever you want, as much as you want. Have fun. That passage of given talents and using those talents for the life of the church. Now, someone said to me, the guy said, I've had some good luck at gun shows, and I ought to take this this wad of money, and I ought to go, I don't know, down to the casino or Salamanca or somewhere. But I ain't going to do that, just so you're aware. And I'm not even taking a trip. So if that money's all gone, check with me back there. I'm not going to be greeting everyone so that I don't pass on what I have. But if you need to find me for more money, I'll be off in a corner somewhere. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, you are the giver of all good gifts. And you have blessed us with spiritual gifts. Giving, caring, nurturing, stewardship, administration, teaching, preaching. The list goes on and on and on. And you call us to be faithful stewards over that which we've been given. And now's an opportunity to say thanks and to indeed produce a return somehow, some way, creatively in the life of this, your church and kingdom. We pray for your presence to bless this, to bless us, and that we might be a light to the world as we make faithful and responsible decisions to give it a try. Oh God, we pray that your Spirit will be upon us and that we might be your faithful servants. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.